Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we're semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss. Mwah.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. And before we get into this episode, if you have always wanted to see me and Cynthia live and in person, if you wanted to see us interacting, if you wanted to see us kissing,
Juice is surprisingly short and I'm surprisingly larger than you think I would be.
Yes, surprisingly. We are going to be going live and bringing our tour to your faces. So we are going to be in Victoria, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary for the West Coast part of Semi-Qualified Queens Live. Tickets are available right now. If you want to come and see us, we would appreciate it. We would love to see you. We would love to interact. Chat,
and it's an early show, y'all. It's a nice, polite early show. I know sometimes drag events can like start at like midnight. This is a polite evening. What are we doing?
Evening. Eight? It's a dinner show.
It's a little night out. It's fabulous. Consider it. We'd love to see you there.
We also have some incredible special guests that we're going to get to talk to at the on stage and for you to get to know. So we can't wait to see you guys there.
Climb our link trees. Yeah. Get those tickets.
Climb it up.
Okay. I also want to talk about something that's also coming out the same day as our Calgary show, January 26th.
Ooh, can we do a watch party?
We are doing a watch party for CBC Gems' new series produced by my brother, Matthew Finland, and Luke Hutchie called Ghosting. And I am on one of the episodes. We hunt for the paranormal. We keep it campy. It's going to be so much fun. So please, SQ Cuties, stay tuned for that really fun series coming out at the end of January.
And Frankie Grande's on it too.
Frankie freaking Grande. I'm amongst the Grandes.
What is it like to be part of a famous family? What is it like being the Kardashians of Canada?
I mean, seriously. And you know why I'm so... I gotta know.
I gotta know.
So check it out.
Check it out. But because your brother produces it.
Yeah.
And you are in it. Are you the Ali and AJ of North American Canadian provinces?
I want to say yes. Yes. It's been so long. It's been so long. It's been so long. It's been a callback. And I don't know. Yes. No, it's iconic.
I love
it. We're just doing it all. The Finland brothers.
I love that. That's amazing. But you know what else is iconic?
Season 4 finale.
Finale. This is a beefy one. We usually like to catch up at the top of these episodes, but there is so much content in this that we are just going to dive right in. Face first.
Let's go. Okay. We get the best supercut ever of the top four, making them look like superstars. My God, I was tired just looking at it, watching it as an audience member. I was like, exhausted. They did everything. They gave birth on camera. They got divorced on camera. It doesn't stop. This cast, they just have been through it. Top four. Props to you.
They really have. I feel like this is the most that the cast has done in Canada's Drag Race. Like, they've really given them curveball after curveball after curveball. We just froze to death on mine.
Yeah.
You know? We kind of, like, worked out the kinks for the rest of the series. And this one, they said, we've perfected the formula. Now we're going to throw whatever we have at you. And
the hat trick on season two was just not catching COVID. And that doesn't play on camera. You can't see COVID. It's invisible.
It's invisible.
All you could see was little red marks of our masks that we were wearing. And then we'd take them off for filming and pretend we loved each other.
And what happened on season three?
Insert cricket noise.
Oh, no. My media board isn't working.
Anthony, you know what to do.
I was going to do the drum roll sound to annoy you again. You know how much I love that drum roll. So, moving on, Melinda's gone. She's not in the top four. I'm very sad to see her go. Because
we'll never be the same.
I'll never get to feel my goats ever again.
No. Never have we seen a freakout like that, and we may never see a freakout like that again.
Imagine Melinda's song.
Oh, so great. And it was also so lovely to talk to her last week on the episode. Speaking of which, how is the BBL?
You're such a bitch. I listened to that interview and you were like, Juice is off getting a BBL. So, and then you do the wrap up and you're like, you know, I said to Juice, like, it's not a visual podcast. It's all voice, but she just had to get it. She said it was for the fans.
Do you want to know what's so funny?
What?
So SQ Cuties, when we do these calls with the contestants, there's someone present from Crave TV.
Oh my God.
Before the call started, I was very respectful of you saying, oh, Juice is, she's, it's a medical thing right now. Like, I was being
very
I got
a colonoscopy. I got a colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah, I'll say it. I got a colonoscopy.
I was very respectful about it. And then when Melinda came on the call and we hit record, I was like, Juice has got a BBL. I probably seem like a pathological liar. Like, and Melinda kind of couldn't tell if I was kidding at first. Like, her face was like,
well, it was very convincing.
Oh.
Very convincing the way you said it. So
I know. Commit to the bit. Gotta commit to the bit.
Big swings.
So Melinda is gone. Rest in peace.
Yes.
As far as the competition.
She
didn't die.
She's not dead. She's not dead.
Take it away. Talk.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
You go.
Oh my God. So they're all, so you have it written down here in your notes that it says all four queens get to say, I have never been in the bottom, but they're actually just saying with Venus because Venus has never been in the bottom.
Oh, I was confused. I was like, what?
No, the others have been in the bottom.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I try here. I'm taking notes.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm double timing
it. I just wanted to.
What did your notes say? No,
because you do them so well.
Sometimes. So I guess Venus was the only one that never bottomed.
Venus was the only one, yeah, because Aurora was in the bottom twice. Yes, for Aurora was in the bottom twice. Nero was in the bottom twice, and Denim was in the bottom twice, I think.
Fair.
This might be me spreading misinformation, but everybody was in the bottom except for Venus. Venus actually has, I think, one of the best runs on the show than any queen in Canada.
There's, I saw one of those fun drag facts things actually that just popped up as you were speaking. Her and Scarlett Bobo have the same track record where the lowest they ever placed was safe.
I think Venus's was better though. I think Venus got more, Venus got wins when Scarlett didn't.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Scarlett got the makeover win.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought they were tied, but maybe that was when it was before the last episode or something, but super great run. Good job, Venus.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing Venus's was a little bit better because there was more like top placements versus safe placements.
Mm-hmm.
But
c'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
In walks look queen of the season,
Tracy Melchior,
to serve us our maxi challenge.
I will say I really did like what she wore. This was very fun.
Here's the thing. She always looks perfect. She looks perfect. She's just not a look queen. It's like, you know, it's like us. Like, I don't know if you call us look queens. We look awesome.
Speak for yourself.
Juicebox the look queen?
You could wear a lavender covered in CD.
Juicebox the look queen?
Look queen.
Cynthia Kiss, the look queen. It doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't feel right.
We're many things. All three of us, me, you, and Tracy.
Not look queens.
That's but okay. We're super excited because she's letting them know for the maxi this week, they are dropping debut singles.
What'd you think of this?
I thought it was cool. So funny that we chatted with Aurora saying I'd never heard her sing. And then in this episode, they're singing. So funny order there for SQ Cuties. You'll hear that in an interview coming up next week. The fact that the vocal coach is Nelly fucking Furtado.
I would have had probably the same reaction that Venus did.
Venus keels over. Venus, it was a tad dramatic.
It was extremely dramatic, but you're in the Thunderdome and they were in it much longer than we both were. So like, fair. I feel like sometimes the drama might just get built up because
you just have to react.
You just have to react. And like, but I feel like there's so many like, okay, I need you guys to do that again and be a little bit more excited about this strange person that you don't know.
Yes.
But like Nelly Furtado is like I grew up on Nelly Furtado. Like, yes. I'm like a bird that shaped me, babe. Mm-hmm. You know?
So good.
I think I would have lost my mind for a little Nelly Furtado.
Yep. And we also get choreography by Hollywood Jade, which is really great. Get to see her again. Another unit.
Crimped long, this time.
Beautiful barrel curled, if you will.
I would say it was more of like a wave, like
that mermaid curl. Yeah.
Yeah, the pink mermaid curl that we all have. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
get it on nice and high. Get those curls locked in. So great. So I can't remember the order of the episode. Did they talk to Giselle quickly and then go to recording with Nelly?
Yes, they quickly went to have a nice chat with Giselle. It was cute. There wasn't any kind of information I found that we really needed to know. It felt very like finale. Like,
filler.
Here's why I deserve it. Get to chat with it. It's fine. You know, Giselle looks great. Giselle's very pretty, beautiful gowns. But yeah, it just kind of didn't feel like there was any movement there for us to really have to break down.
My one favorite moment, though, was when they said, okay, we'll do the photo shoot with Neera. And she looked forward and then completely missed this curtain lift and giant boat come from behind her. She was
bless
like,
her soul. Bless her soul.
Oh, there's a boat.
And a hard front, too. God love her.
It's a hard front life.
Life for her. I love how Neera only has, like, extremely expensive human hair wigs and a hard front. Like, there's no in between.
Well, there's how do you think she affords...
She's got to do the hard part.
She's got to dip into the synthetic funds.
So we go onto the main stage and we start recording the lyrics with Nelly, who, before we get into that, shout out to John Deemer, the sound recording guy. We used to party at the Loop in Windsor together. I just think it's very cool to see that sweet little handsome face on the Drag Race stage.
That's so cool.
He's so hot. Like, he's so hot.
He's cute. He did my season as well.
I think he might have done my season, but I wasn't there, so who cares? Oh no, I saw him backstage. Like, he was doing like sound.
Never mind, we should care.
I should care. Anyways, handsome boy, very nice. We used to drink together when I was in my party days. But Nelly was the perfect addition to this. Like, you know how like sometimes like you get a guest judge like on the main season of Drag Race, and they like they're helpful, but they're like. You know, like she was really breaking down every piece of these songs for these girls and making them exponentially better. And it's like you could really see why she has the career she has in the industry. She was able to make like some of the things like what Denim had done and what Neera
she fixed
had.
Aurora's song.
Oh, she fixed all of them except Neera, who just went, no, I'm good.
Yes, that was the thing. But you're so right. Nelly was actually giving really constructive notes, which can be, there's an art to that because it's really sensitive and vulnerable to get up there, record with your own song that you've just written. It's intense. But Nelly had this way of being like, okay, I see where you're struggling, not making you feel bad about it, and then working around it. Like the way she got Venus to sing by be like, just be a little tired. Just go like, and then all of a sudden the note was the note. She's a really good vocal coach. Like that
showing her like how to make an A sound versus a sound and stuff. Yep. I was just like, this is like the this is the perfect person. Like this she should do all of them. But she's
Nelly
so famous.
Could get you to sing Juice. There's a voice trapped in there.
Listen, I have trauma. You'll never hear it.
Nelly will break you free.
Nelly would make me feel like a bird.
Exactly. Can we talk about Neera's line? Who knew that a full-time bottom could top? Full-time bottom could top.
Did she keep that in for the final?
She didn't take anything out.
I was going to say, it was fast. Zip, 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 zip.
Wordy.
But wordy. I loved how she like kind of had that still near enough little edge to her, though, even with Nelly. She was like, no, I'm just going to keep all that in.
It's like, so hard, though, because in Drag Race, sometimes that plays in your favor, like knowing yourself, just sticking to your guns, like you never know. So Neera was like, no, Grammy Award winning Nelly Furtado, I'm evil lemon.
I'm fine. but even saying that, like she still created something very good.
It was actually strong.
I loved it. I would say like everybody was quite good, quite strong, and it was just so cool to see Nelly Furtado just like work. That's all I cared about. I was just like, the way that she, like for me, that it was all about her in that scene. I was like, look at the way she just like is able to create something. I was like, this is wild.
Really take the raw components of their songs and turn it into like a song.
Yeah, crazy
talent.
Talent.
The Mirror Chats this episode were kind of just first impressions of everybody, and it's a bit of a love fest at that point.
Yeah,
bit of a circle jerk.
It's a bit of a circle jerk. Yes, I did go pee
during it.
I could hear it, but I did go pee and just listen. Well, because it's a finale. There's not going to be a lot of that like drama. That's
very like
plant
juice. When I first met you, I thought you were a cunt, and now I realize you're a gun. And everyone just keeps painting.
Yeah, it's just a lot of that. I mean, it's great, and I'm glad that they all love each other and stuff, but yeah, you know.
Okay, so we should head to the main stage.
Let's go to the main stage. Cover girl. Put the bass in your walk. I wish we still did that. I loved when it was.
I know, classique.
Classique.
So we've got Brooklyn walking out in a sparkly gown and a blonde palm tree coming out of her head.
Controversial yet brave.
Let's do it.
I hated the wig.
Yeah. My description of palm tree wasn't necessarily flattering.
It's just like, the gown was so striking.
Mm-hmm.
And like the detail in the gown was insane. The face was perfect. I love Brooke in a red lip. She looked absolutely incredible, breathtaking. And then the wig was kind of like, what's happening?
I think it was one of those styles that she lays down and then the wig stylist does the straightened pieces like on her head or something, like making it kind of sculptural. And I just wish they could have played more with curls. I think they looked at the gown and they're like, oh yeah, it's kind of with the fringe, like the dangling of the gold fringe, maybe this will complement that. I just wanted more curls. I felt like the spikes were a little too erratic.
It was just so random. You know, it was a little too random for me. And I like Brooke in things that look a little bit more wet. Like when she does a slick, I like when things look a little bit more like wet on her. She really pulls that off. And especially with the dangling of the gown, it looked like long golden raindrops. It kind of looked like wet, but if she were laying in the puddle. But I wanted to see her after she got out of the puddle. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I totally hear you.
You totally hear me. Thank you.
We've also got Brad and Tracy looking super cute in sequin. Yes. So sequin. Adorable.
Brad again has lost all his shirts.
Gone. Their shirt budget.
It's all cleavage.
Well, that was in the first design challenge. He didn't realize he threw in some of the new shirts. And so they all got upcycled.
They're all cleavage. No complaints here, though. If I had tits like that, I would never wear a shirt. It would all be cleavage.
Any day now.
Any day, babe. Chest day, best day. And Nelly looks just insane. Like, incredible.
That lavender satin color on her skin tone. The two just were so complimenting each other. Just
and that those like perfect. Earrings, I couldn't stop staring at the like drop that she had on.
The shaped silver metal. Very cool.
She must be just so rich.
Do you think?
I mean, she's Nelly Furtado.
I would think so, right? You never know. You hear horror stories sometimes with these artists, right? Where they get such a raw deal.
But I feel like she's not only a, like a recording artist, but I feel like, oh my God, too little, too late.
Oh, like shit like that. Like artists sometimes.
Did you hear? She had to do 10 albums with this company and then they shut down. But it was trapped. Such an ironclad contract. She's trapped. She could never make an album ever again. Mm-hmm. Insane.
She was not like a bird. She couldn't fly away.
But I feel like Nelly does more than just put her albums out. I think she's a songwriter too.
Cool. So she's got bank.
I think so.
She's got least.
Money.
Residuals.
She probably produces too. Like she's, I don't know.
But speaking of that music and her magic fucking touch, let's dive into these songs. Well, what did we think of Aurora's Asian Sensation?
Very cute. Fast. Quick. But I liked that she had the call out. Hot. Yep. Top.
Yes, exactly. Smart. The kind of the second. It was her hook.
It makes it fun.
I said it was very K-pop. It felt very cutesy with the lyrics. At first, I thought each queen was getting their own kind of musical vibe. Like she got to say, make it sound more synthy and poppy. No, but then I realized
every girl gets the same track. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they were getting custom songs because sometimes they'll do that on Drag Race, but I guess the same one four times.
Same one four times. I didn't love that, but
I know. I felt like it got a little repetitive.
Yeah, by Neera, I was like, ooh, I am over this beat.
It's less their own debut single, and it's more like the same single who did it the best.
Yes, it very much felt like that, which keeps it in the realm of a competition. But
yeah, I was going to say, it's as if it's a competition.
But I was kind of like, I'm sort of like done with this, like, you know. So.
But I did think Aurora switched it up with that hook. Great note from Nelly.
It was great. Great. Yeah. Then we get to Denim and the Trantasy. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a great great lyrics. Sometimes I think some words don't work in lyrics, like what is it? More like medical words, like about like transitioning and stuff. Sometimes I feel like they sit strange in the song.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It's a little too Grey's Anatomy and a little less Lady Gaga. It's like
kinda,
yeah,
yeah, like adding like things like binary or like stuff like that. I'm always like, they always just feel like they fit strange,
mm-hmm.
you know, as lyrics. But I thought that it was loved the look, the pink and the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the idea and the fun of the song. The choreography was a bit rough.
What was Hollywood giving her?
Well, I think Hollywood had to give her a challenge because it's the finale.
She made her trot like a horse at one point. It was like she did this like saddle up move and I was like, Hollywood, I don't know if I vibed. That was my one beat. I was like, I don't know if I'd have her trot. Otherwise, I was like,
sugar and spice.
Yeah, I think because what Hollywood was doing was like, okay, I don't want to do too much crazy, but I want to give interest. And for some reason for me, all together, I was like, something's happening here. It didn't punch the 1-2 in the same way I had just seen from Aurora, and then we got from the other queens.
Yeah, well, it's hard to compare, right? Because Aurora just goes in with this like very intricate choreography, and then Denim's is a little bit more pared down, and she's kind of offbeat here and there, and not really synchronized. Like in the lines weren't perfect. So, but looked great. Lyrics super fun.
Totally
great.
And she didn't do the, what you call it, the donkey kick, the dumpy thick.
The dumpy thick 6,000.
So her spine is okay.
Her spine is okay. Then we get into Neera, Stampede Drag Queen. And can I be controversial?
I love it when you're controversial.
While this had the most lyrics and it was very fast and wordy, it was my favorite.
She had me 75% of the way, and then there was just something about audibly how it started to sound being so like boo 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 boo. I wish she would have mid rapstress moment completely changed the energy, kind of like how Venus does, how it felt like a
fair,
you know, because the girls could have written that song any which way they wanted. I felt like Neera was stuck in verse one ad libs and she kind of just went on a loop
and kept it there, and so it was like, you know what,
you're not a bottom, like a top. It's just like, you know.
You're right. But I thought her choreography was
so good.
So good. Loved the look. Mm-hmm. The hair, cute. I love a curly bang.
Mm-hmm. Gold fringe. Adorable. Gold sequin fringe. When don't gold you look amazing fringe. In that?
She looked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, loved it. Then we move on to Venus in a K-U-N-T manifesto. Mm-hmm. Cunt manifesto.
Mm-hmm. The lyrics were super smart. Yeah. Super smart, calling out each judge, how Venus killed it this season, throwbacks to Snatch Game, her Métis heritage, and giving us a vocal bridge that felt like the most versed song. Like it felt like it went places.
And un petit peu de français.
Oh, and how could I forget the French in there? She really catered to Canada.
She did. Like,
that was, it was class act.
She gave a very well-rounded mm-hmm. song.
She was like,
you know what I'm gonna give it to you. Mm-hmm. This one was my favorite.
Yeah,
you're right.
But Neera was close.
Because
Venus, I will say, her one Achilles heel was the dancing. She didn't actually necessarily like hit hard like cheerleader style. There were a couple moments where it was like, okay, she's figuring it out, calibrating.
There was some things that I think Hollywood had said that you could really still see in her choreography, is that she was trying to make herself smaller.
Yes,
you know, and totally. I could see her trying to break out of that and try to really extend, but even in her posture,
mm-hmm.
there was moments where it felt like she was trying to be a little bit smaller, and it's just like, babe, 6'6", be huge, mm-hmm. be tall, you know, you look great.
Totally.
Most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, right?
Be tall.
So it is interesting when a dancer works with Hollywood versus a non-dancer.
Yes. It's crazy. And it's funny how Hollywood can point those things out. Also, shout out to Hollywood. Looked absolutely fabulous.
Hollywood, episode. I'm fucking obsessed with you.
Fucking so good. I love anytime Hollywood's... And an eye on. Hollywood had an eye on this time. There was a... Did you see the sweep?
Always
there
a
was
look.
A sweep.
And she always brings in the stakes. It's like... $100,000 on the line. Like that always somehow happens.
Hollywood was a lot softer this episode.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe now that it's
except
top
with
four.
Venus.
maybe it's top four energy. It's a little more like relax. Like it's been so much pressure.
I felt like Hollywood with Denim was very tender and very like, we're going to make this work. We're going to work together. With Aurora, it was just like, we're going to do this. This is amazing. With Venus, it was like, nope, nope, right? Nope. Like very on Venus to make sure it was good. I felt like Venus was getting the tough love, but yeah.
So your favorite song was the KUNT Manifesto?
I think so. It was it was the most well-made one. It was the most, it felt like a song. It felt like a finisher.
Yeah. She took a risk singing and I think it paid off.
Guess what that was? Big swing.
Big swing.
Big swing.
We love a sports reference here on Semi-Qualified Queens. Should we dive into the runway?
Yes. Should we do first out all the way to the girls?
Oh my God. Okay. Slay. Because we got a reunion.
We got a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So we could talk about all of those girls and then chat about the reunion.
I love.
Do you love?
Let's do it.
Okay. So CC Superstar walks out.
What's the theme?
Coronation Eleganza.
But of course.
But of course. Coronation Eleganza. And she walks out in a pumpkin Bride of Frankenstein kind of vibe. Like, is that kind of what you would say?
I called it Halloween Couture.
Halloween Couture.
Very spooky. Okay. Loved the body paint. It was well applied.
Very. Oh my God. Yeah. The orange was beautifully blended.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the wig. My favorite was the wig.
Actually, yeah. Shout outs to that wig.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we had Girlfriend Experience. And I just wrote down Hollywood Superstar.
Yeah. She looked like the happiest to be back.
So pretty.
She kind just of so was pretty. Giving that like on the run, like the gown itself was absolutely stunning. Loved everything about her, but even like the way she ran onto the runway, like hopped out, big waves, like it felt like that's your girlfriend who just saw you at the airport and you hadn't seen each other in, you know, a month. Like it was the fantasy, you know. So
totally,
it was great. I thought she looked beautiful,
and I feel like that was the first time we saw her wear that hair on the runway, because I think that was her confessional unit with the bangs.
No, I think that was her. I think that was her hair. That was before she shaved her head.
Oh my God, totally. We got to see it. It felt right. She looked so beautiful.
She looked gorgeous.
That's what I meant by Hollywood. I just like, you look like you're attending the Golden Globes.
She looked fab and she looked comfortable and happy, which was nice. Then we have Luna Dubois walk out in, how do you say that? You wrote it down?
Schiaparelli. So there's a designer that does all these very, like gold plated sculptured pieces with noses, eyes, horns. Very cool. You'll understand the reference. It's very much this energy. That's definitely the reference, but she's wearing a really great rendition of this. The stoning, it was dense, bitch. That was like fully stoned. No gaps in between those rhinestones. That was none.
The stoning was incredible. And I love a black velvet. And she had that tight black velvet skirt on the bottom. And I love the juxtaposition between like a shiny, shiny rhinestone and like a nice velvet. Love velvet.
Shine.
Amy then comes out in this gender fluid, Black Lives Matter rhinestone. She's got like a mustache gown.
This look had a little bit of everything.
She also came out and she had a green heart and ripped the green heart and then walked out. And I just don't know what that reference was. So if anybody knows, if you want to call in and let us know, or I could just text Amy. But yeah, I was a little confused at what that reference was.
Yeah, they definitely had to trim it down so that we didn't really get a zoom in. Couldn't read it.
Well, it was just a green heart, and she ripped the green heart, threw it, and then came out. And I was just like, I missed something here.
Yes.
But I'm sure she was trying to make some kind of statement, which great. And what did you think of the gown?
I loved every piece of this separately. Together, it was like, what's the narrative? I just couldn't figure it out as one singular vision. Now that gown on its own, gimme, because I adored it. Was really nice. Even the face framing jewelry, really cool, really nice. Even the lace front beard, really cool, really nice, but just all together started to be a lot.
Yeah, I felt like they were pieces that could stand alone, but I think all together it was just, it was a lot.
Next we have Kitten. Meow. Love that coat. That kind of, I don't
know. Foxtails?
The foxtails. Scandal. Mm-hmm. Animal I know, cruelty.
A scandalo. Yeah, she had the foxtails. They could have been fake. I don't know. Yeah. They didn't look fake, but they could have been. they looked very real.
Very furry.
Very, very furry. But yeah, no, I loved it. It was very kitten. Classic drag. Pink mm-hmm. in her signature color. She looked beautiful. With some foxes.
Mm-hmm.
How many kittens needed to die for this look? Mm-hmm. I like that.
Really, really striking, stunning, polished. We lived. Okay, next we've got Kiki Ko. And I literally was writing this joke, devils in the details, as Brooklyn Heights goes, devils in the details. I was like, wow, we really are great. One lizard brain. I thought she looked cool. It wasn't what I was expecting from Kiki. She went a different angle than I thought, but maybe this is what we've come to love from Kiki and why she collaborates so well with queens like Isis Couture. Like, she's not scared to go glamour remixed with grunge, goth, rock. Like, she'll twist it in this way and cover it in rhinestones that it's still so opulent and drag. I just didn't expect it.
She takes a risk in her fashions, and
it's a season of big swings.
Big swings.
How many times have I said it? It's, I mean,
big swing.
Big swings, baby.
Guess what? Canada's Drag Race season 4? It's a big swing. And then we get our favorite star, feeling her goats. Melinda Virgo walks out.
Melinda walks out looking so snatched. That gown fit her perfectly. Her waistline, the sweet heart neckline. She looked so beautiful. I was obsessed.
It was gorgeous. And it was, I feel like I want to see her in something a little bit more glamorous. But for her package, it fit.
Oh, you mean like more elevated than what you saw? Like, just
a little bit more elevated than what I saw. It looked a little tame.
I bet you, like,
she looked great.
At the finale on Thursday, she's going to do just that. Because it's like, once you see yourself on TV.
The finale on Thursday, she's going to look insane. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to look so good. Because she's really been stepping it up outside of the show. But I will say, she put a little rouge on, so that made me happy.
Oh, totally.
A little bit of rouge, yeah.
Love a red blush.
No, red on the cheek. She put on blush.
Oh, the blush. Yes. That as well.
Yeah. I do love a red lip, though. Love a red lip. All right. So before we get to our top four queens, we get a nice little reunion with all of the girls that we just chatted about. It's nice. It's, again, a bit of a love fest.
Yes. The circle jerk has extended.
The circle jerk continues. We do get a little bit of resolving with some drama. Like, Neera is very much like, listen, it's a competition. I love you, Amy. Luna doesn't really resolve much with Amy.
No desire.
No desire. Amy's trying to, and Luna's just like, cool. Like, Luna kind of wants nothing to do with it. Really falling into that Housewives brand really easily.
Amy calls her beautiful and like kisses her feet, and Luna's just like, thank you.
I know. The girlfriend experience and Venus have this really beautiful, tender moment, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings out all the things that we love so much about girlfriend, is her just being very real, very open, and very herself, which is really, really nice to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And Kitten gets to put in her shady quip about not being the oldest, but not looking the oldest, which I just loved.
She's that girl. She can't quit. No, it was so funny. There was one point though, that right after she said that, she kind of, she kind of stuttered or something. So it was like sassy, but then it was like, aw.
Aw, Nana.
Nana.
Nana. You may not look the oldest, but you sure are.
I did think it was interesting. Technically, we did it backwards on the podcast today. Like, we did their runways, but we saw their looks in Untucked first, which was kind of an anticlimactic order. A part of me wasn't sure why they did that. How did you feel about that order? Well, so there's like an ambulance in the background. I don't know if you can hear it.
I can't hear it. Oh, I like when they do it like that because it's more of a surprise for the girls and for the audience. Like,
right. Okay.
Like, girlfriend runs in and being like, I heard somebody's looking for an in-call.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for those of you that don't know what an in-call is when a sex worker comes to you.
Amazing. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. So she said, is anybody looking for an in-call? So it's just like, that would be when the sex worker comes to your house It's a little bit more expensive because they have to travel.
Iconic. Only yeah. girlfriend.
Well, I mean, it's the girlfriend experience. It's like it's a name that very much calls out to sex work because that is what you can order.
But you're right. The order of them seeing each other in the workroom first, they can kiki, big reactions.
It's a little anticlimactic for the looks. We see the looks right away, but I'd rather get the excitement of them coming in.
I have an idea. They wear cloaks in the workroom, so they get robes. The reaction. Robes. They're covered. All you see are the wigs, and then they walk out and each person gets to reveal.
Reveal. Great idea, babe.
Thanks.
Thanks. You know what? Cynthia, producer kiss.
Trevor, I know you're listening.
Trevor. I wonder if he likes when we call him that.
Trevor. I don't know. He did message saying he listens. So
we love. I do love when he tags us and says he listens. It makes me feel like we are doing something right. But speaking of doing something right, my segues are really good this season, by the way, guys.
Big swings, big segues.
Shut up. Let's get to our top four looks. So first out, denim comes out, completely nude gown, mm-hmm. two big old jugs, and then takes off the breasts, and it's a purse.
It's top surgery on the runway, and it is made so well. I don't think you understand how hard it would be to carve and fit the foam to make those muscles like that. Like, human anatomy is actually very complex. So to then recreate it in sequin, and just my mind was like exploding as I was watching this walk down the runway.
I loved the scars in red.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. Honestly, so cool. Yeah. I know we interviewed earlier today and I said other favorite looks, but I think this was my favorite look of denims.
Really?
Yes. There was something just with the tattoos and I'm not kidding, like the construction, like it is so complicated to make that, to make a muscle suit like that, that I just was like,
the fairy. I think that's still mine. I love steampunk. That one. The steampunk fairy. I love that one so much. So moving on, we get, who walked out next?
Venus.
Oh, Venus. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Venus in a gown?
So tall, so beautiful, statuesque. I don't know if I'm always a fan of black lace, but on her, it read in this really beautiful old Hollywood way. Mm-hmm. I was a little distracted by the gold underlay in the middle at first, but then it warmed up to me.
Do you want to know why it was bugging you?
Why?
Because it needed a steam.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It needed a steam.
Oh, it's so hard with the big gowns, though. Like, getting them to the
But I don't think I think the camera very much didn't let you know that it really needed a steam, but I had moments where I paused and I went, ooh, it's a little.
Pause, zoom in, confirm.
Pause, steam zoom needed. In, confirm. Steam needed in this section. It just felt like there was just a little spot in the front that just needed just one more you know? But overall, the construction of the gown, the way it fit on her body, the makeup, the hair, perfect.
Perfection.
Perfection. That little bit of steam it's nothing. That might have been why that kind of bugged you a bit.
Totally. But then again, I think for me at first it was color theory. Like, it was kind of, you know, that meme dress where it's like, is it black and gold? Or like,
her gown wasn't black and gold. It was white and blue.
See? I actually thought I was having a stroke. I was literally like, wait a second, what?
You're like, is she? No, it was black. It was black and gold.
Cynthia's having a hard day. But it grew on me eventually. What did we think of Near Enough? Voice crack. I'm so excited.
That's okay. I love a royal blue gown. It always excites me. I think it's beautiful. Royal blue with a nice dark brown black hair. I really liked it. I wish it was it didn't show so much leg. I wanted more of like a gown, you know? Mm-hmm. I think she kind of went into the construction of it thinking I'm gonna have to lip sync in this. And that was that I think is like, sometimes you just didn't think of that. Sometimes just think, how gorgeous am I going to be in it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, don't think about the lip sync. Just make an amazing, ornate winner's look.
Yeah, because she's any kind of gown we've really seen her in has had that little bit for her to be able to move.
Mm-hmm. I love a gown with a really high slit, though. That very, like, Angelina Jolie, like, the leg out. I love it for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Throw your keyboard across the room.
Sorry.
Sorry. Ever since the BBL, you
shut up. Okay. Next up, we have Aurora Matrix, who walks out in this beautiful cultural gown. I wouldn't call it a gown. Robe.
Mm-hmm.
With these, like, she says she has a phoenix and dragons all in it, and it has these, like, pointed gold almost flames on the sleeves.
Very ornate. And I felt like there was a look she wore, I think it was the second week, where it was like a mint robe instead. Yep. And they didn't do the same stonework and epaulettes and different appliques. This was like the evolved version of that runway. I felt like it was the next step up, and really, really beautiful. I love when queens pay a homage to their heritage. I just think it's so awesome on such a national stage. It's like, yes, this is you. This is where you fucking come from. Like, this is what makes you unique. So to display it in such a well-crafted way, you should be really proud of that.
Yeah, I thought it was gorgeous. My favorite part was the headpiece and the hair. Loved.
Totally.
Loved.
Loved. Big swings.
Loved that. Big swing. Whoosh. Yeah, big fan of it. So then we get to the four queens are sitting there. Four girls are sitting there, and they basically
They're standing for hours.
They're standing for 8 hours in those gowns. And we chat to them about why, you know, how do they feel about being there? Is that how you describe it?
So for context, hardcore fans would know, this was the moment where RuPaul would typically show a baby photo of the top contestants in the competition. And it is so nostalgic and, like, heart-wrenching that it almost guarantees tears from each queen.
Oh, yeah.
And then Canada's Drag Race, I'm saying this with love, but it switches it up, where instead of a childhood photo, they take a photo with the current reigning queen. But I feel like it strips away a little bit of that raw human interest moment, where it's like, we get to see as an audience what the queen looked like as a little kid, which is super cute. And instead, we kind of have just like a photo shoot on the Titanic. And it just felt like a different vibe. I always think it's interesting when they switch it up like that.
Do you think they switched it up because, like, maybe for some trans people, it could maybe be triggering to see themselves?
Oh, do you think? I didn't even think of that.
Just like, imagine you have, like, say, four of the top four is all trans.
Right.
And then you show them a baby picture, and it's like it's them as a baby, but it's them, like, I don't know, say in, like, a little dress, or, like, with, like, little blue overalls with a dinosaur. Like, it's like, maybe something like that might be triggering. I don't know. That's just kind of where my, so it's like, maybe that's why they changed it. I don't know, though.
For part of me was thinking it was their way to segue in Giselle. Like, it was less about the contestants
that moment, and
it made it more about Giselle.
That's
so that she had, like, a purpose on set, like, get to kind of mentor the current or, like, hand over metaphorically the crown in the photo shoot. But I don't know. I love that childhood photo moment, but I respect your angle too. Maybe that's,
well, that's just, I thought maybe that might be a reason that they were like, maybe not this, you know, just to kind of, like, make sure everyone feels okay.
But kudos to Aurora, no matter not having a childhood photo or not, she's like, I'm gonna bring up my childhood.
She rounded
it back no matter what. She's like, I know this beat in the show. I know what you're looking for. You want my tears. Yeah. And she was genuine and beautiful, and just,
it was gorgeous.
So lovely.
I know. And then we also get a really tender moment from Venus, and trigger warning for anybody about what's coming up next, but Venus does talk about moments where she didn't think that she was going to be here, and now she is here living her dream and being able to create wonderful art and, you know, be able to do things she's always wanted to do. So that's really beautiful. I remember, actually, I had a moment like that with a therapist where I told her, I was just like, I think I want to die. And she went, but I was like, but I don't want to, because I love myself too much, because I'm narcissistic. And she told me that I had too many tabs open, and that I had there was the spinny wheel of death, and I needed to close the tabs to not feel the spinny wheel of death anymore.
Metaphorically, of course.
Metaphorical spinny wheel of death. Right.
It was a BetterHelp call, and she's like, you're glitching. Close your tabs.
Use link SQQ for BetterHelp. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah, no, it was a really beautiful moment. It was really, and it's nice to see stuff like that on the main stage. So, because that could help somebody, you know?
Absolutely. And it was just one more peel of an onion layer of Venus where it was like, you are officially standing there naked. You could not be more vulnerable in this competition. Like, she has really given all of herself to this. And that
and
last
Bradley
moment
even related to it too, right?
It was really powerful. She went there, and I appreciate it. I felt like it was that last piece of vulnerability with Venus that we were looking for, and I don't know, just really touching. I was quite moved when she was talking. It was like, whoa, you can just feel it.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was one thing, you know, when they just like really hit you with something where you're like, I wasn't expecting that. That was something I was not expecting. Mm-hmm. So I really like gasped. I got a little teary eyed during Aurora's.
Just shows you how different a year can make, you know, in someone's life. Like, you never know. There's always hope. So it's very inspiring. So
yeah.
Although they weren't baby photos, there's still very touching moments.
We have beautiful moments. You know, we had beautiful moments with Denim and Nira as well. You know, like, it's not just to say those two are just very, you know, intense. But we then find out that unfortunately we are going to be having a top two
lip
sync and not a top four. What do you think about this?
All of a sudden, Brooke's just like, by the way, lip sync for the crown is only going to be two of you. And there's four of you.
They did that last year.
There's four of you standing on the stage. And then she just quickly goes, Venus, Aurora, it's going to be you. It was literally just like, all of a sudden, we're looking at half the contestants, 50% on that stage, just get yeeted to the back. Like, it took me a second. I was like, hold on. So it's done for them? They're out of the competition?
Well, the same thing happened last year, remember? Because Kimmy and Fierce.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
Damn. They really, I guess, yes. Yeah. I've been clouded by my season where it's like they did a fake out. Like we thought we were getting a top four and then it went to a top three. So it kind of like they chopped away it a little bit.
If they did that and they made it a top three and they were like, by the way, next week is the live finale, I would have lost my mind.
I mean, if there's any season that would have deserved a live finale,
it's this one.
Seriously.
Trevor.
You're not in trouble.
Producers of Canada's Drag Race. Listen, hear me up. Live finale.
Hosted by semi-qualified queens.
No. Live finale. We don't need to be hosting.
We'll just do the carpet.
No, that would, obviously we would do the carpet, but I would love a pork chop seat. Just saying, front row. And instead of hi pork chop, Brooke goes hi juice box fab.
That's it.
Trevor, hear me out.
We're really giving good notes.
I think we're geniuses.
Oh,
really?
I don't think. I know.
It's for the betterment of the franchise. Like, imagine a live finale with this season. France did it. Fabulous. Everybody watched it.
I know. We're getting too cocky with our Crave connections.
We have a Crave connection, and we have a Canadian Podcast Award. We're getting too big for our britches.
I know. Our headphones aren't going to fit our heads.
I know. It's too much. We've got a live tour coming up. It's too much. It's too much. We need to slow down. So we get our top two and go to our top two lip sync, and it is this song I have not heard in so long, and I was like, I forgot how much I fucking love this song. I used to listen to this song on repeat in high school and on my like feely emo days. You know those days where you're like, you're full of hormones and all you can do is just like, it's like Avril Lavigne and this, you know? So Try
Say
by Nelly
again.
Furtado. Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne?
Oh, yeah. Am I saying it wrong?
Avril Lavigne. Like the way you said Avril Lavigne sounded very...
Avril Lavigne. Yeah. Avril Lavigne. Anyways.
Sorry to cut you off.
Anyways. Try by Nelly Furtado. Are you kidding me?
The feels.
I love this song. I was so excited.
I love this song. The bridge, the way they spliced it for TV, the best parts.
Cynthia,
Juice.
I see you standing there with your headphones, wanting more from me.
All I can do is try.
All I can do is try.
It's so beautiful. I remember it's being so a good. Kid and watching it, the music video show up on Much Music, and not knowing the song, and like that still being a way where you find out new music, and I was captivated. I was like, I memorized the screen. I was like, okay, it's called Try by Nelly Furtado. I must have been like a little bit younger.
This is going to be the new song I listen to on the way to the gym every morning for the next month.
We are. We are. you're working out.
Honestly, bitch, I've listened to a balance while working out. I have no issue with that.
What did
you think of the lip sync? Great. It's a finale lip sync, you know? So it's kind of, there's not much to it, and it's a ballad. Mm-hmm. There's no like, the person who wins the lip sync doesn't win the show. This is kind of just like a moment to kind of show off the last bit. They've already made the decision. You know
what I wanted was one of them to do like a Julie Andrews, like Sound of Music swinging and like keeping their head turned forward, lip syncing for that, like the repetitive part. Cause then the gowns could have like filled up and I don't know.
Can I say same, but I wanted it to end. Do you know when someone spins in a gown
and
lands on the ground and the gown is out?
Yes. I was really thinking
they're on their knees.
I was waiting for one of them to do it. Yeah.
I thought Venus was going to do it because she had more of the poof and she did go down. So I was like, oh, is she going to give me that big ball gown spin? But she didn't, which is fine because it was still fabulous lip sync. But it was great. It was fab. And then we get the coronation gown of Miss Gisele Lullaby.
Oh my goodness.
Now there is a lot of pressure for a coronation gown because we had Priyanka season one
with animatronics.
Animatronic fucking arms, gigantic Sarkar's corsetry gown, beautiful makeup. Like, she looked incredible.
Yes.
And then Isis sees that and goes, bet. Walks out as a gigantic, like, red angel, like, huge angel wings, very intricate makeup, like, insane. So there must be so much pressure there from those two. So I really liked what she came out in because it felt very her. It didn't feel like she was trying to one-up Isis or one-up Priyanka. It felt like she was just being true to what she wanted to do.
Well, it was starting to become who can wear the biggest look, because Pri's was already so sculptural that Isis looked like the cabinet you put Priyanka in. So is Gisele going to wear...
swallow her.
Like, all of a sudden we look up and Gisele is the main stage. She's been there the whole time, all season.
Hello.
And clicks out and is like a transformer. Like, how much bigger can we get?
I know. So I really like that she went a bit smaller. I was obsessed with the wig. I loved those big horns. I love fantasy, right? So for me, that looked just very
She did
cool.
miss a joke, though, when Brooke was like, you look like a reindeer. And we just finished her reign. Like, you know what I mean? She could have, you know, clicked back a little, like, one, two. Found it funny.
I'm going to be really honest, babe.
Didn't think of that?
I didn't think of that. There's also a massive language barrier. And I think if she would have bounced back, I don't think it would have been that funny. I think her just going was funny.
Oh,
enough.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. That's how I would walk as winner, which
oh, yes.
didn't happen.
Well, on your reign, of course.
Exactly. Yes.
And
Girl
Cynthia,
can dream. Girl
Cynthia
can
Kiss,
dream.
Winner of Portugal versus the world.
We. She looked amazing. I thought it was very icy, very like making, you know, the cold, frosty Montreal winters. Very chic.
Very chic. Chic, c'est la vie.
So we finish a beautiful lip sync by Nelly Furtado, Try. And then we find out our season 4 winner. We've been waiting all season for this. I feel like it's been such a close season between Aurora and Venus. But Brooklyn says it. Venus. She won. Vancouver took it. Took the crown. And I just got to say, as a fellow Vancouverite, I was just extra proud of her, extra happy to see it come to the West Coast. I also just want to say, Aurora Matrix, you are a star. This is not the end for you, and you should be so proud of your run. And Venus, this is just, you are the queen to represent your culture, who you are. It's just, I feel like it's her time. I was very excited last night at the viewing party. Did you have a good viewing party? Because you were also doing...
I did a viewing party. Event. So for those of you listening right now, me and Cynthia did a little time jump.
We recorded
the episode, and then a couple days later we did the finale. So this is us in the future. That's why I sound so tired.
There was a murder on the dance floor.
Murder on the dance floor. So we had done the viewing parties. I had Denim and Aurora at mine. You had Neera and Venus at yours.
Yes.
It was fabulous. It was really interesting because I've only been at two crownings out of the four seasons. And the first crowning was Priyanka. And the second crowning had the top three. So no matter what, you saw a winner. This was the first crowning I was at, or the first finale I was at, where there was no winner there.
So it's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe. And I was hosting. So it was a really, like, it was a really interesting thing to kind of have to maneuver. Yes. But when they announced that Venus had won, the amount of like love in the room for Aurora was so palpable. How do you say that?
Palpable.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Like everybody was like on their feet, screaming for her, like losing their mind. She was crying. Like it was hard. You could tell it was hard for her, but it was nice that everyone was just like showed how much they loved her. And she was a really gracious, you know, second place.
And not to like make it about us, but geez, how iconic that we hosted the finale coast to coast, top two. Either it was you with a winner or me with a winner. Like, we have to change our podcast name. Like, things aren't semi-qualified anymore.
Nah, semi-qualified is more catchy.
I know.
But how did it feel to be with Venus as she won?
Electric. This was my first time ever actually being at a crowning, if you can believe. So to be on stage with the winner, I've known Venus for years. Seeing her with her family, just seeing the whole community, it was incredible. Electric was the word. It was just such an energy. I've not heard like that amount of applause. The room was just so
losing
proud
it.
Of her.
Losing I loved it. The video, because the video looked like it looked crazy. And like her mom was like screaming and Venus was like screaming. But my favorite part was if you pan over to Neera, she's doing that signature Neera cry face. That's just my favorite thing in the world. The Kim Kardashian cry face. And I was just like, that's my girl.
That's my girl, Neera. She was classy. Class act. Truly. The whole night she was holding her head high. Obviously, she had known the results sooner than anyone else as a top four contestant. But her and Buffy Nuff, class act. I just got to say it.
I love that. Denim was incredible too.
Oh, I bet. Truly.
Yeah, Denim was super, super fun, super cute. Like, just like a really like a light, you know? I really enjoyed being around Denim.
And can we talk about the applause for Melinda Verga? She was also at the viewing party. And when they lost their mind. When I introduced her, like, I got a little sample and a amuse-bouche of the love that's going her way when you announce her. It was like, everyone went, it's as if she won the competition.
She did. Yeah.
She really won.
Yeah, she really won. I know Venus has a crown, but like Melinda won.
Is there a Miss Congeniality of season four?
A Miss Congeniality is, you know how it works for Canada. Miss Congeniality is usually like a behind the scenes thing.
But it's never official.
Well, ours
was... No,
it's
official because Suki's was official. It's just like it happens like online.
So my season, it was we all voted, and then they just said Miss Congeniality is Tainomi Banks, but it was never like a big announcement. You know, it was just voted between us, and we found out later on.
Oh, they don't even publicly say it.
They might have for ours. It was so long ago, so I can't remember.
No, but I was wondering for this season.
I haven't heard anything. I don't know who season three's was. Irma season three's or Vivian?
I think it was Viv.
Was it Viv?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm talking about it at the DragCon Untucked or whatever they call it on the main stage. The conversations
maybe.
They have with T.S. Madison.
So
I don't
maybe
know. I
want
to know who it is. I feel like it should be Melinda. Even though it's not very congenial.
She wasn't the most congenial. So no, I don't think it should.
It's like, it should be like favorite.
I think it should be the girlfriend experience. She was very congenial.
Yes. Good pick.
Yeah. Melinda is like a fan favorite. It's very Valentina. Is it Miss Congeniality or is it fan favorite? You know, give it up for fan favorite. So I think that the girlfriend experience was the most congenial this season. And that's just me.
Because I don't think they announced. Maybe they will soon. Time will tell.
Well, she has my vote.
She's got my vote too.
Just got my
vote. Now that I think about it, because Melinda was fantastic, but like, you're right, when it comes to congeniality.
She wasn't congenial. She had 3 meltdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
Our Miss Congeniality, the nicest girl on the cast, so kind and sweet to everyone, never once lost their minds, Melinda Verga. Truly. I know. But it was a great episode. I had so much fun. And yeah, I look forward to next season. I don't think we'll have to wait long for it in the drag race machine. You know, I'm sure one will be season 5
cooked.
Is casting right
made.
Now.
Yeah,
you know,
adding the spices.
Slaycation will be coming out. We've got verses that are going to be coming out really soon too. So it's all happening.
It's coming down the pipeline. But what a great season. This was fun to review.
I had a great time. Oh my God, we said at the same time. Yeah, I had a really great time. I was really happy with the season. I ran into the production of Canada's Drag Race last night, and they were all really fun, and they were very proud of their work. So we got to all kind of chat about that stuff. So that was nice. Hello, hi. Shout out to all of the Canada's Drag Race crew. What's up?
That is the one fun part about a Toronto show, is that production will come out, and it's fun, familiar faces that you knew when doing this really intense thing, and then you get to kind of celebrate months later. It's really cute. I love that they were there. They should be so proud.
Nice. They should really be. Fun. They season. Should be very proud. But with that being said, next week we are going to have our interviews with the top 4, and then the week after we will have a interview with Venus. So
yes.
You'll Speaking still get your traveling. Canada's Drag Race. Yes, you'll still get your Canada's Drag Race content. Keeping going with semi-qualified queens.
Absolutely. If you want to follow us on Instagram to stay updated with things like our tour, seeing us live, climb our link tree, you can do so at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod. We're on Twitter at SQQPOD. And you can email us using the email semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
And if you want to have your voice on the pod, if you want to chit chat with me and Cynthia, if you want to hear your sweet little voice with us, go to speakpipe.com/SQQPOD. That's speakpipe.com/SQQPOD. We are going to be back next week with some exclusive interviews with the top 4. And we are so excited to see you guys again. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
It's Venus!